Tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm that cry for you. And every Saturday night that you ain't keep
my... Live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel at Rockin' Brews, it's Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Ben Brust alongside Packer backer, fraudulent Marquette fan Kyle Wallace. Longtime NFL punter Brad Nortman with us as well. Chris Larson running the show. Joining us now, you can hear from 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. It was Jelly and GE earlier today. But I did enjoy Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour yesterday as well as on his own show. But Homer from 5 to 6 on ESPN Milwaukee. You know, Jason, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about this because I'm sure you're probably sick of talking about the rent being due with Green Bay and Lambeau Field. But I just thought you were super insightful. And for people that believe that Mark Murphy is doing this for the fans, which he's trying to claim the media he is, I don't know. Just give me a breakdown, because you said it the best way anyone could say it, in my opinion.
Well, that's nice of you to say, Benny. Yeah, look, I don't have an issue with the idea of businesses trying to gain whatever advantages they can financially. And if this was Arthur Blank and the Falcons or Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, that would be one thing. But the Green Bay Packers purport to be owned by the community. We don't have a deep-pocketed owner, he always likes to say. We don't have a billionaire. Well, the idea of spending basically 40-some million dollars less paying to the city of Green Bay in rent for Lambeau Field and claiming, well, look at all these improvements we've done and look at all the economic impact we have on the city and this and that. Yeah, that's great. Those are all true. But you have chosen, I mean, you are a publicly owned nonprofit entity, and the idea that you now want to try and, you know, basically save yourself, what, a couple million dollars a year that you don't want to pay to the city, and as a taxpayer in Green Bay, if I was a Packers fan and a taxpayer in Green Bay, how would that be helping me as a Packers fan, right? So I'm disappointed that Mark Murphy has not only gone about it this way and been aggressive with a public statement now that, you know, I think that question was, you know, probably planted in some way at the NFL meetings. And so I just don't understand it. And my frustration is that to paint this as, you know, there was the one quote in the Press Gazette story, we just want to get back to the bargaining table before more harm is done. Ugh. No one has been harmed here. Like, there's still 9 years left on the lease, and the Packers have chosen to stop the $80 million project that they have going on to improve the concourses and the concession stands. I don't think that that's hurting fans, and I definitely don't think that's hurting the city, and I found that to be an embarrassing thing to say, especially when Mark Murphy says that it also hurts us for the draft. I don't think,
by the way, in a lot of audio that was sent out over social media.
Yeah. So my bottom line when I was talking to Homer yesterday was, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And they are within their rights to try and negotiate this, but, you know, I just hate the fact that the mayor, who, you know, is trying to take care of more than just Packers fans in a city that was just voted the best place in America to live, but certainly has its struggles. The school district is struggling financially. There's all kinds of other issues in our fair city. So I appreciate the Packers. They are obviously a huge deal in this town. But if you want to be able to use the narrative that you're owned by the fans and owned by the community, and then you don't want to pay the community an amount of rent that they are counting on in their budget, and you are under contract for at least 9 more years, and you were the ones who started the, we want to negotiate, then the idea of coming out aggressively against the mayor and trying to make him seem like less of a Packers fan or a guy that now needs to be recalled, I just thought it was incredibly poor taste, and I thought Mark Murphy overstepped.
Did it go that far as talking about recall, Jason?
there were fans who responded to the social media posts saying, well, this guy obviously wants to get voted out of office, and then there were, it's time to start a recall petition. Like,
oh gosh,
really? Like, and again, one of my frustrations is that Mark Murphy always likes to talk about how they are stewards of this organization. And this organization, look, I understand that there are people that are rubbed the wrong way by Aaron Rodgers. There are certainly issues with him that I am rubbed the wrong way on. There are people that are rubbed the wrong way by Brett Favre. Certainly there are plenty of issues there that you can feel that way about. But without the greatness of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, frankly, the renovated Lambeau Field doesn't get built in the 2000s. Titletown doesn't get built. None of those things happen without all the success that this organization has had. And now they are printing money at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And the idea that you need to cut some corners with what you pay in rent to the city, I just had a real problem with it. And again, I know a lot of people listen to your show. A lot of people listen to Homer's show. If you disagree, that's fine. You feel free to disagree. But don't disagree based on, I'm a Packers fan and I just want whatever the Packers want. Because this is not that simple. This is not, hey, they need to sign another safety. This is a totally different non-football related thing. And I just think they've gone about it the wrong way.
Yeah, Jason, I'm glad you touched on that because two quick observations and I'll get to a separate question off this topic. One observation is for these executives to think like it was all their business-making decision and not wonderful product on the field that helped contribute to more of this is crazy to me. Another thing is, you know, I'm a finance guy, so I dove into the Packers financial statements.
Baby.
And here you go. Rent expense for the Green Bay Packers. Total rent. Now, we're not talking about the increases that are alleged being discussed. 0.2% of their total yearly expenses, and it's 0.1% of total cash on hand. Translation,
oh, wow.
pennies on the dollar, and it's a very strange battle to fight indeed. But now to go onto the field, and switching gears here, we're here at Potawatomi
God,
today.
It's so good to have a guy that can both punt the football and crunch the numbers, isn't it?
It's amazing.
The more you
can
do.
We have a built-in capologist and a risk management finance
yep.
guy. It's amazing.
The more you can do. Us punters, we find a way.
You have time to do it.
I sure do.
Damn, Kyle.
So we talked the early part of the show today. We looked at some over-unders. I know you're not a betting man, but I would just love your insights on these, on what you think is the better... Yeah, I want to say bet, but what you think is
what
more likely
play?
To happen.
Yeah,
the best play. So the Packers over-under for win total, 9.5. The New York Jets, 9.5. Detroit Lions, 10.5. Which of those do you think is the best play?
Wow. So I find that fascinating, though, because last year, what was it, 7.5?
7.5.
Going into the year? And they won 9 regular season games, but... I'm amazed that they're at 9.5, especially when you think about the expectations for this team based on what it did in the second half of the season. Like, if they win fewer than, 10 or 11 games, I would argue 11, if they win fewer than 11 games, people are going to be disappointed with how the regular season went.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Thank you.
Right?
Jason. Yeah.
Kyle?
No, absolutely. I said 9.5 was easy money.
Yeah, look, there's obviously things that can happen, right? Quarterbacks can get hurt. Players can regress. The defense can be, I don't think this is even possible, but the defense could be even worse than it was with Joe Barry in charge. Like, there are certainly factors that come into it. I don't want to sound like, I don't know if it was Reese Davis or somebody who got into some hot water talking about
risk-free.
Easy risk-free investments. So this is definitely not a risk-free investment, but I would agree with Kyle that that seems like a number that is awfully low given the expectations that all of us, myself included, have for this team. Like, I will be surprised. I'm not picking them to win the Super Bowl by any means. I don't think I'm quite at that level like some others might be, but I look at them as if they're not 11-6, I will be legitimately surprised.
Wow.
Jason, down at the NFL owners meeting, the Packers publicly gushed about Jordan Love. And some people are concerned that all this gushing and public praise may actually raise the dollar amount and have them lose a little bit of leverage in negotiating. Do you think the Packers are losing leverage when they publicly speak highly of their starting quarterback in contract negotiations?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the ultimately the number is going to be what the number is going to be. I will say
this. What do you think the number is going to be real quick?
Look, there's a guy named Joel Corey who I respect a ton. I actually dealt with him many times when he was still working as an NFL agent. He had a bunch of players the Packers had. And he works for CBS now, and he has forgotten more about negotiating than I have ever known. But he said he thought the number would come around, you know, somewhere north of 50 to 51 million a year. Maybe that'll be the case. My issue is, regardless of how much we all think Jordan's really good, he still has basically 9 or 10 games of evidence that show what he's capable of, right? That's not the idea of paying him the same amount. Let's say 52 million is the number. The idea of paying him 52 million a year, when he's had 9 good games to very good games, and that's the same amount that Lamar Jackson, a 2-time NFL MVP, is getting paid. If I'm the Packers, I want to try and get that number down, right? I'm going to say, look, we think you're the guy, but based on what you've accomplished, we can't put you in the Lamar Jackson class. You haven't even had the extended success that Justin Herbert has had. So we're going to come in at $47 million a year, right? And I don't know how this negotiation is going to go. Goody basically said, look, if you guys think it's going to happen right away, it's not. It's going to be a slow process. I would say that this probably happens around training camp, but I won't be surprised if he comes in lower than some of these other guys. He'll be ahead of Daniel Jones, who is $40 million a year, but even as much as I think he's a very good player, the idea of giving him the same amount of money as a guy, I don't care about the timing, as a guy who's got back, has 2 NFL MVP awards, I have a hard time with that. I just think that he's got more to prove before you're north of $52 million a year.
Jason, quickly before we let you go to steal a line from your show, you know, there's still some open holes on the roster, safety, linebacker. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Packers are done in free agency, do you think they've done enough and, like, feel comfortable filling the roster with the draft?
Yeah, I think they are basically done in free agency. I mean, there's some bargain guys that are out there that they could do. You know, they could do what they did with Devondre Campbell a few years ago, and then, you know, then he'll turn on the organization shortly, then a year or two after that. But I think they'll still augment their roster with some inexpensive guys, kind of like what Josiah DeGuara is to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, that's a nice pickup for them. It isn't going to cost them much. Fills a role for them. So I would think that they would do some of that. But, you know, I really think, and based on some of the things Goody said, I really think that their thought process is, look how well this worked for us on the offensive side of the ball, filling these holes with young draftees instead of, you know, filling these holes with veteran players that cost more. I think they're going to try and do it on the defensive side of the ball. I really do. I think they're, you know, they really like Anthony Johnson and Benny Sapp, who were rookies last year. I think they feel like either one of those guys can maybe win that other safety job. I think they're going to draft some linebackers. I think they're going to draft some edge rushers / defensive ends. I think they're probably going to draft a corner. Look at what Carrington Valentine did. Now, the danger of that, you guys all would acknowledge, is, yeah, hey, you hit on Carrington Valentine in the 7th round. You know, Ron Wolf hit on Donald Driver and Mark Tauscher in the 7th round. But I can show you plenty of 7th round picks were not very good. So that was a strike of good fortune, and you deserve credit for your scouting. But there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to do on the defensive side of the ball this year in this draft what you did on the offensive side. If you do, great. You've got a bunch of inexpensive labor and a bunch of really good players that aren't costing you much. That should give you a great opportunity to win. But that is what Goody did last year with those guys on offense. That's hard to be that good. He deserves a ton of credit for being that good, but it's hard to do that time after time after time. It's an inexact science. So I'll be very curious to see what they end up doing.
Well, maybe because he was so bad in the third round for so long that he finally hit on some this past year with those five in the top 100. Maybe he can do it again on defense here. Jason, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, if you guys are at Rock and Brews, have you guys eaten already?
Oh,
no, we're about to place an order. Got a suggestion?
But the dessert last time
was delicious. Oh, it was out of this world.
If you like salmon, I cannot recommend enough the salmon they have at Rock and Brews. And then
these two yahoos just opened up the menu as you said that.
The Black Atlantic salmon. Ooh, Cajun season.
Wow. I'll tell you this. I went down for one of Maddie's ballet practices, and I went to Rock and Brews. Went straight in, ordered my food, and then ate it and got back to make sure I could pick her up in time. I went there expressly for the salmon. It was that good.
Pow! Sold. I'm changing my order.
There it is. Jason Wilde, we appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Take care. Be good.
Tune into the Thanalysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Antetokounmpo sits down with special guests. And if you didn't know, he sat down with Jordan Love, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. That's out on YouTube right now across Thanasis' socials. So make sure you check out Thanalysis Show on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and subscribe to the Thanalysis Show on YouTube for special content and to watch QB1 Jordan Love sit down with Thanasis Antetokounmpo on the Thanalysis Show. More Kyle Brustenortman live from Potawatomi Casino Hotel next.